Ezra chapter 3 this morning for the reading of God's Word. Ezra chapter 3. We'll be reading two verses, verses 1 and 2. Ezra chapter 3. And we're in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles, and then you'll go to Ezra chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 1 and 2. If you found Ezra chapter 3, if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Ezra chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Verses 2 has some unfamiliar names there, but we will read and get through those this morning. Ezra chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We're going to go ahead and read both of them together responsively if we can this morning. Ezra chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priests of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Let's pray this morning. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of God's word this morning. Lord, I pray you'd bless the special and the message to follow. Lord, I pray you just, Lord, pour fresh oil upon our preacher this morning. Lord, just I pray that there would be no distractions. Lord, I pray we just listen attentively to what the Holy Spirit has given preacher this morning. Lord, I pray you just would bless and we'll give you all the glory and praise. In your name we pray. Amen.
And ears have never heard what awaits us in that land so fair.
How I like to be in faith with you,
his nails turn hands.
I belong longing to be over there.
I belong here.
I belong here.
To be under.
To be under.
In that land.
For its beauty.
I am homesick.
I belong.
Folks, that is a blessing. Enjoyed that. I enjoy men singing. I just appreciate men who are men. Troy and Matt, I was thinking about those fellows while they were singing there. They're men in every sense of the word. They have manly jobs. They're manly in their actions and behavior. You won't meet a better woodsman than Matt Maxwell, knowing game and so forth. And just I appreciate men who also don't mind standing up and opening their mouth and singing. Amen. Not be ashamed of it. So that's good this morning. And I enjoyed the good singing. Now, we're going to talk today on this subject, keys to building a Christian life. Keys, plural. I used to preach on the key. And I found out that you got to have more than one key when it comes to anything. And so I'm going to speak on keys to building a Christian life. Now, this is from the book of Ezra. There are more keys than what we'll refer to this morning, but the ones we're going to refer to from the passages we'll be reading. If you have a Bible, keep it open to Ezra. We're not going to stay in chapter 3, all right? This is almost like a little bit of a survey through the entire book, although we won't be in every chapter. We'll stay probably 3, 4, 5, 6, but I want you to be able to see it from the Scripture and know from your Bible. Okay, people trust a pastor to say what God's Word says, and I'm okay with that. But it's far better for God's people to see it for themselves. Okay, so I want you to see it in your Bible. Keys to building a Christian life. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the home over yonder, and we do look forward to the day that we'll be there with you. Until then, we want to make the best use of the time on earth you've given us. And that means, Lord, we want to be busy about building a life that brings honor and glory to you. Help me this morning, please. I pray that you'll use your word in such a way that every heart will be touched. I have confidence in you. I believe in you. Holy Spirit, I know your ability, and pray that you'll please exercise it this morning and that we will be ready to receive it in Christ's name. And amen. My wife and I were headed to a particular place. We were headed to a restaurant. Ben and Ashley leave for Madagascar a week from Tuesday. So time is drawing to a close, and we're trying to do some things that some of the other children, Hannah and her boys, and Al and Abby came out on Friday. We had kind of a time together there. They were able to say goodbye to their brother and sister-in-law and their nieces. And so we went out to eat as a family on Thursday night. Almost all of us. Alan and Abby couldn't come for the Thursday evening thing, but everybody else was there. My wife and I were trying to remember the approximate date of the last time we were at this particular restaurant. We were having difficulty. And then just out of the blue, she said, I remember. It was during the building program. The second building program, the school building over here across the parking lot. She said, I remember that because you had to take a phone call from Brother Jason about the building. And I thought, well, that's an odd way to remember an occasion and a phone call. And in particular about the building, you know, you thought you might remember it from, you know, the environment, the ambiance, the food, the romance of the time together. I remember, you know, the being together and the sweetness of it, the things that you said. But no, it was a phone call from Brother Jason. That's why he left here. I fired him. I said, no more phone calls during romantic evenings. Okay, but no, I'm just teasing. But anyway, she remembered because it was during the second building project. And when she said that, I just shook my head and I said, thank God that's over. Amen. Thank God that that's over. We went through two building programs. I look back on those building programs now, as busy as our life is, and I wonder how in the world we were able to get through the added burden of overseeing or helping with this building program and two of them. And this white hair did not come from being married to a woman, okay? This white hair came from two building projects. I didn't have this white hair when I came here. But anyway, thank God that those days are over. Over. I was glad that building project was over. And I'm happy. I love the buildings. We get compliments all the time on the buildings and their prettiness, how pretty they are, and usefulness. And people are very generous in their compliments, and I really believe they're sincere. I love the buildings, but man, I'm glad that the program, the building program, the construction and all that is done. Glad that that's over. Now, as a Christian, somebody said to me one time, are you planning on, you're going to build again? I said, no, not if I can help it. Thank the Lord. No, sir. But as a Christian, there's never a time when we stop working on building our Christian life. I'm talking about building our relationship with God, building our character, building our relationship with others, building our knowledge of God, building our experience of walking with God, building on our inward man in its development, if you will, in character with God. And that process never stops, never stops. And Ezra, the book of Ezra is about building. And I was reading through Ezra the other day, chronologically through my Bible this year, and I noticed some symbolism in what I read in the book of Ezra concerning building. Okay, some of the things that they experienced as they were building and how it's symbolic of building in the Christian life. And I thought, boy, you know what? This could really help. This helps me, and this might really help the people at Faith Baptist. So began to study and look at it even further. And I believe the Bible, we can learn some lessons from Ezra about building our lives for the glory of God. Ezra is a book about the Jews. Now listen, who returned to Jerusalem after the 70-year captivity. Okay, they were taken into Babylon for 70 years of captivity. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was beaten down and the walls were beaten down and the place was almost uninhabitable. And at the end of the 70 years, God stirred up the spirit of the king of Persia, Cyrus, and said, give a proclamation and tell the Jews, as many as will, go back and rebuild their homeland. And so many thousand Jews left Babylon and went back to rebuild their homeland, the city of Jerusalem, and the walls and all that went with it. And so it's about building. It's about these Jews going back to rebuild. Now, my message today is about people who have a responsibility to build, a challenge to build. I'm talking about those of us who have been saved. If you've been born again into God's family, if you're saved, you know, I was talking to a man about this this morning out in the hall. Brother Irvin and I were talking about somebody that we had talked to recently and gave a testimony of salvation. And it's a little bit vague. And I want to say this, man, being saved is not being born in America. Being saved is not attending a church. Being saved is not going through some ritual or some religious ceremony. Being saved is when you come into a head-on confrontation with the Spirit of God who puts your heart under conviction about your sin and you realize that apart from Christ, you cannot get to heaven and you trust in His death, burial, and resurrection as sufficient payment for your sin debt. And that is salvation. So don't mistake going to church. Don't mistake baptism. Don't mistake the Lord's Supper or communion, the sacraments. Don't mistake religious ritual for salvation, okay? There was a day when you were born and your birth established your relationship with your parents. I have a relationship with Bob and Amanda Angel because I was born to them. Okay? I have a relationship with God because I was born to Him. That second birth is what establishes or creates the relationship. And so I'm talking this morning to those of us who've been saved. And if you're not saved, or if you're not certain that you're saved, you know, you can listen in. I want you to listen in. Maybe the Spirit of God will speak to your heart. More importantly, I'd rather you leave today knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Knowing for certain that you're saved. I'd rather you leave that way. And so I wanted to say that this morning. I want to talk about building in the Christian life, how it pertains to those of us who are saved. And our goal ought to be that of building a life pleasing to God. Now stay with me. Listen carefully. We're going to go through this thing of progression. Number one, in Ezra chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, I want you to notice here, number one, the altar. The altar. Look at verse number 2. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren the priest, and Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. The first thing. Now look, you're talking about thousands of people traveling together. Okay? So they travel together, and they come into Jerusalem. The first thing they do is build an altar. They gather the wood, they gather the materials, they get the things necessary, and the first thing they do is build an altar. Now, on this altar, they would offer sacrifices. These sacrifices were intended to please God. They were intended to keep them cleansed from their sin, to make them acceptable in God's sight. Now, wait a minute. This was not a part of the structure of the building. This was a piece of furniture, if you will, that was the centerpiece of their worship. Okay? This was, if I can say it this way, this was the heart of the building. They're going to put the temple up. Okay? They're going to build all the temple. Then they're going to put the walls around the city. But the first thing they do has nothing to do with the structure of the temple, has nothing to do with the walls around the city. The first thing they do is they erect this altar and they begin to offer sacrifices on this altar. You see, it was the sacrifices on this altar, the offerings that made them acceptable in God's sight, made them fit to build. They had to make their relationship with God right if they were going to be able to build for God. Now listen very carefully for you and me. The altar represents the care of our hearts before God. This pictures the need that each one of us has to make some time every day to take care of our relationship with God. I'm talking about altar time. Altar time. This is not church. Okay? This is not Sunday. This is not Wednesday night. This is not revival meeting or missions conference. This is altar time. This is my altar time. For you, it's your altar time. This is time when we talk to God. This is time when we read a little bit of God's Word. This is time where we confess our sins, where we ask God for His forgiveness, for washing and for cleansing. This is time where we praise God, where we thank Him for His goodness. This is time to love God. Okay? And friend, if you and I miss this, we will miss one of the most fundamental elements in building a Christian life. A life that pleases Him. It's altar time. It's altar time. It's where you and I begin in this process after we are saved. And let me say this morning. Altar time must be established. It's got to be established. In other words, you have to build this time into your daily schedule. Hey, listen to me, friend. It will not happen on its own. It will not happen on its own. You know why? Because there are so many things of lesser importance that are screaming at us. So many things of lesser importance screaming for us, trying to grab us, trying to get our attention. And God doesn't do that. God just says, you know, here I am. And I want you every day to acknowledge me. And I want you every day to take some time for your relationship with me. And we're not talking hours here, people. We're not talking hours. We're talking time. We're talking a little segment of time, a segment of my day, a segment of your day. Look, I've got a responsibility here at the church. I've got to get to the church. I've got to get things done. I've got study to do at the house. I've got to prepare lessons. I've got to think about things and ask God for things for the ministry. But I must have altar time. It is vitally important. Look, if I don't have altar time, I am not fit for the rest of God's work for my life. Okay, so I've got to have altar time. I must have, you say, when does this altar time, when does the need for this altar time begin? When you're 18, when you're 20, when you're 25 or 30? No, no, no. The need for altar time is today. And the need for altar time is tomorrow. No matter what age you are, when you get saved, as a child, as a teenager, as a young man, a young lady, as a grown adult, every one of us needs altar time. Let me ask you this morning, when is your altar time? Do you have altar time? And you say, well, Pastor, you know, frequently you mentioned the need for this. Yes, and I do it on purpose. And I will forget, years ago, a man and his family who moved away to another location for work purposes. He came to me, and I'm talking about a seasoned man, a man who's saved, a man who's been in church most all of his life. And if I called his name, you would remember him. You, most of you know him. And he came up one Sunday morning after I talked about prayer and Bible reading and so forth. And he said, Pastor, I'm glad you talked about that again. He said, you mention it often. He said, please don't ever stop telling us about the need for us to have altar time, because it's something that slips away from us very quickly. You know what that man was? He was honest. He was honest. And if you and I were honest this morning, we would say that something that very easily slips away from us is this matter of altar time. When is your altar time? Well, you know what? I think I need to have altar time, and when I get around to it, I'm going to have some. That's the problem, friend. Satan and other distractions will make sure that you and I never have the time. Now, you got to have a time. Set a time. I've preached at teenage camps now for I guess, 25 years. Teenage camps and teenage conferences, and thank God for the opportunity. I've enjoyed it. I have a message that I used and have used all over this country and take camps and conferences to teenagers on reading the Word of God, what the Bible is to us. And you know, the kids are really responsive to that message. They respond. They can identify with it and they respond to it. But here's how I leave that thing. I don't just preach a message on the need for reading your Bible. And here's the reasons why. When I get down to the close of that message, I say, now look, here's the decision you need to make. As you come to the altar this morning, here's the decision you need to make. You need to make the decision of when you're going to do it and where you're going to do it. Do you have altar time? You see, I think the best altar time is in almost the same time, at the same time, and almost in the same place as often as possible. Same time and same place as often as possible. It becomes, hey folks, listen, it's sacred to you. It's a sacred season. It's a sacred moment. It's a sacred time of your day. It's time that you set apart for. Ladies, what do you like? What do you like for your husband to do? Oh, okay, roses are nice, yes. And going out to eat is nice too. That's wonderful. And maybe a new outfit every now and then. Yes, that's great. But you know what you like from Him? Time. Time. You like it when He sits down the other day. My wife and I got into a lengthy conversation just sitting on the couch in the evening. And we just talked. And you know what she said? At the end of that, she said, "Thank you so much for just talking to me. Talking to me." It's that time. It's that personal touch. And God is no different. You know, God is interested in you and God's interested in me. And God wants time with us. And, you know, I'm all for busily serving God. But there are times when God says, you know what? The most wonderful thing we can do right now is just talk. Let's just be together. Let's just have some altar time. Let's have a little bit of love time. Let's have a little bit of time of just thinking and, man, asking God to reveal, Lord, what is my heart like? And God can and show us and we can confess and we can keep our sins confessed and maintain closeness to God. Now, when is your altar time? Is it early morning? I'm a morning person. I like the morning. I married a night person. She likes the night. Okay, but when is your altar time? You like early morning? You like mid morning? Sometimes a busy wife and mother gets her family, her husband gets her kids all set for the day and everything, and you know it's not till mid morning that your day kind of goes. Phew. Is it mid morning? Is it after lunch? Maybe a few moments of, you know, 15, 30 minutes just to sit down and maybe after lunch. Is it mid-afternoon? Is it early evening? Is it before you go to bed? I'm not going to chastise you on when you have it. Just have it. I'm talking about altar time. I'm talking about altar time, fellow. I was talking with a man recently. Good brother here in the church. Good brother. I called his name. Unanimous vote. What a great man. What a good brother. And he came by the church. And he kind of poked his head around. I was with somebody, and he said, "Oh, come back." I said, "No, come on. You know, when can we get together? I want to talk to you a little bit." And I could tell he was distressed about something. I said, "Oh, come on in. Good grief." And so we sat down in the office, and he said, began to pour his heart out. You know, I've had crazy thoughts lately, and I'm thinking dumb things and crazy things I haven't thought for years and since I've been saved, and just that, you know, I don't know. I feel like quitting. I feel like throwing in the towel. I feel like giving up. I don't feel like I'm worthy to be at church. I don't feel like I'm worthy to this, and this. And I picked up my Bible this morning for the first time in a long time, and I said, whoop. My antenna went up. And he talked on for a few minutes. And I said, "You said one sentence." When he finally took a breath, I said, "You said one sentence." He said, "You picked up your Bible for the first time this morning in a long time." How long? 30 days? Yeah. 5 weeks? When did you start having trouble with all your thoughts and your... About 4 weeks ago. Oh. Folks, it's so fundamental. It's so fundamental we overlook it. Why do you have the oil changed in your car every 3,000 miles? Why? Or the newer cars, I guess you can go longer. 5,000 miles, now what's a blessing? AMS oil, you can go 30,000, whatever it is. Why is that fundamental? Why are they? Get your oil. It's fundamental to the performance of the vehicle. And look, first, folks, they don't have houses to live in. They don't have stores to buy food. They have nothing. But the first thing they built was an altar. And you say, well, that's... No, it's significant. God didn't just throw stuff in the Bible so we'd have something to read. He put it there for a reason. And He wants us to learn, hey, Christian, New Testament day and age, you're in the Old Testament, but you know, it's still good because all Scripture is profitable. So, Christian, in the New Testament age, in August of 2012, when is your altar time? When is it? So it starts with the altar. Building a Christian life begins with, you know, the altar. The altar is so vitally important. When is the time for you to sit down and read your Bible? When is the time for you to say a few things to God in prayer? Look, if sometimes we think, you know, I've got to have this book full of prayer requests in my Bible reading at home, my everyday Bible reading at home. I have a little piece of paper that size clipped into front of my Bible like that. It has my prayer list, my daily prayer list. It's that big. It's that big. That's got more than one name on there. It's got more than one word on there, but that's my daily prayer list. That's this. If I brought the paper from my Bible at my house, that's the size of it. We're not talking about super Christianity here. We're just talking about the fundamental. We're talking about something very simple, something that is attainable by every Christian in this room, no matter how long you've been saved. And by the way, you say, well, I've been saved for 50 years. You don't ever get... Look, truth of the matter is, the more miles you put on that vehicle, the more often, the more careful you are about that, getting that oil changed. Absolutely. I have 250,000 on my Chevrolet, Brother Payne. 250,000. He's probably got 280 on his Ford. Amen. But anyway. And I'm more careful today about the oil changes. The guy that changes my oil said one time, he said, I want to help you get 500,000 miles out of this vehicle. I said, well, then don't charge me anything. I'll keep bringing it back. We can get that done quick. Yes, sir. We can make this happen. No. But look, we're talking about things that we're talking about a time of the day where you and I set it apart to ask, to just talk to God and ask God. Let me tell you how funny I am about this. I have a place. I have a Bible. I don't read from this Bible for devotions. I have another Bible. There's my devotion Bible. I have that prayer list stuck in the front. I have a pen. Don't touch my pen. It's my devotion pen. You say, you're strange, you're weird. Look, if I'm going to be particular about anything in life, I'm going to be particular about the time that I spend with Him. Does that make sense to you? Maybe it does. You say, well, that's overkill. If I'm going to overkill anything, I'll overkill in that area. I don't want to miss it. So it's familiar. The coffee is set. The coffee is made. The table is there beside the chair. The coffee cup goes on. No sugar, just a little bit of cream, half and half. No flavored junk. Don't give me a latte, frappo, mocha. Just give me a cup of coffee with a little cream in it. That's it. Every day. The Bible reading schedule I've told you about is tucked in the back of the Bible. Every day that I've read, I've marked off. I've marked off some things. There's some notes in that thing. That's my altar time. That's where my bread is buttered. That's where your bread is buttered. It's the first thing they did. They took care of the altar. Oh, they put the building up. We'll talk about that. But the first thing they did was put the altar in its place. They built it, erected it, and they began to offer sacrifices. Listen, it's a great time for you and me to be able to reflect. Oh man, I am saved. You know, one of the great things you can do to have the assurance of salvation is talk to God and have that altar time with Him every day. I'm saved. Man, I remember when I didn't ever do this. The Bible was a closed book to me. I had no interest in talking to God. And now look at this. I'm enjoying the Bible. I may not understand all of it, but I'm enjoying it. And when I talk to Him, man, my heart burns. And it never used to be like, you know what that is, folks? That is great assurance of salvation. A great assurance. And Peter talks about this in his second letter in the New Testament, how that we have to build on our faith. And man, if you get to the place where you start reading the Word of God and spending altar time with Him, the assurance of your salvation will overwhelm. Now you say, well, Pastor, you make it sound like every day it's just fireworks and everything going off in your heart before God as you read the Bible. No, it's not every day that way. But many times it is. And even when it's not, at least I was there. I'll be honest with you, I told this brother the other day, I said, look, if you look me square in the face. So, Pastor, 2011, that's last year. Did you have that altar time every day? 365 days in 2011. To be honest, I'd have to say no. Because even for a pastor, someday you get up, something happens, the structure of your day begins to crumble, begins to get changed. Flexibility is not as flexible as you ought to be. And you run from one thing to the other. You ever live those days where you feel like you spend all day just trying to run to catch up? And then, you know, I don't have time, but I'll read it tonight. And I get to tonight, I'm so tired. I close my eyes and go to sleep. I missed a day of altar time. Has that ever happened to you? There might be a handful of folks in this room who could stand and say, Pastor, by the grace of God, made every day 2011. Every day. And you know what? My hat's off to you. God bless you. But the bulk of us have to say what I said. The bulk of us. But you know what has to happen? One day can't become two. Or 2 days can't become four. Something's got to happen to stop that chain reaction and get back to altar time. Get back to altar time. I'm talking about one of the most, if not the most fundamental elements of building a Christian life is altar time. Nobody outgrows it. Nobody gets beyond it. And for young Christians, you won't do anything. Sometimes, folks, better for yourself. Sometimes people get introduced to a church. They see a guy up speaking behind the pulpit and they think, man, that guy has just, you know, he's been in church all his life. I didn't get saved until I was 18. Those of you who've been around here, you know the story. My life was a wreck. A wreck. Ended up at a boys' home. Huh? It hasn't always been like this. And after I got saved, there's something in my heart that said it's time for devotions. It's time for me to read the Bible. And I began just to set that little time aside in the morning. Our day started about 7 o'clock, and a lot of those guys wouldn't get up till 7. And Mike Hagee would wake us up. Mike would wake the boys up that were asleep at 7 and wake them up. But I started setting the alarm clock for 6, getting up a little bit early, 6:15, just so I could have a few minutes of reading this book. And I remember what it did for my heart. Hey, you talk about it. Now look, I'll say more about church in a little bit or another day. That's part of it. And the preacher at the church, man, he did something. He helped, you know, he took the Word of God and you fired my heart up as well. But I'm going to tell you, my heart was fired up before I got to church because I had altar time. Altar time. Altar time. Now, when is your altar time? When is it? Do you have a place? Do you have a time? The best thing you can do for yourself, pick a time and a place. Think about your day. Think about it. And think honestly about it. And don't just try to cram it in. Find a time and have a day. Have a time and a place in your day where you can sit down with this book right here and just for a minute or two, express your love to God. Let God speak to you. It's called. The first thing they did was build an altar. And I'm done. Because God told me to be done. I got 3 more points. But I'm done. It got so quiet in here. It got so still in here. God came. I got my finger. The Spirit put His finger on the problem or the trouble in many lives this morning. It's called altar time. You can't outgrow it. You can't overlook it. You'll never get beyond it. It's got to happen. It needs to happen. Day after day after day. Miss a day, don't miss two. Day after day after day after day after day. Miss a day, don't miss another one. Day after day, miss two, don't miss four. It's got to happen. I got 3 more points. But God said, that's it. The rest of the points will preach themselves another day. That's all we're going to talk about this morning. When is your altar time? When is your altar time? How long since you've been at altar time? You with me? Okay. How long since you've been at altar time? This is not Faith Baptist Church. This is you and God together. They build him an altar. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Listen to me just for a minute, please. I'm going to close the service. We're going to give the invitation. We're done about 10 minutes early, but that's okay. Who would say, Pastor, during the message, the Spirit of God just used the message this morning as a reminder in my heart about the importance of altar time. Part of the reason it got so still and so quiet in here was because God was speaking to my heart. I want to acknowledge that God spoke to my heart. Raise my hand. Pray for me about that matter. Would you slip your hand up, please, wherever you're sitting? Altar time. Yes. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Altar time. Thank you. Now listen. Maybe you had altar time and you got away from it. Maybe it's hit and miss and more miss than hit. Instead of just coming to the altar this morning, this church altar, and I hope that you will, instead of doing just this, Lord, please help me, and I need to have altar time. Why don't you, on your knees down here, why don't you think about your day just for a moment? When can I do it? What time can I do it? Where can I do it? I'm going to get me a Bible reading guide or get me some kind of help. I'm going to start this thing of altar time. I'm going to get me a little quarter sheet of paper, a little quarter sheet. And put some names on there, put some people's names on there, put things on there and start praying just a little bit. It's called altar time. They builded an altar. They didn't have a house to live in. They had no food, no grocery stores to shop in. They had no places of business, but they builded an altar. And I hope that you'll begin that process this morning. Go back to it this morning. Don't be too settled in your Christianity as to think you've gone beyond the need for altar time. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me when you have your prayer in just a moment. Anybody else about this matter of altar time? Slip your hand up. Anybody else? God bless you. Thank you. Let me take your hand down. Now, let me ask this question. Who could say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. You talked about being saved. It's not in baptism, not in ritual, not in ceremony, not in a birthplace, America, or some place. Salvation is in Jesus, and I know that I'm saved because I've trusted Christ. The Holy Spirit convince me of my sin. I trusted Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. I know that I'm saved. Could you raise your hand, please? Just as a testimony to that, be honest about it. Just be honest about it. Yeah, if you can't raise your hand, that's fine. But just be honest. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there somebody who would say, okay, I didn't raise my hand. I was honest. But I have been thinking about this matter, or some things lately have made me think about it, or I do wonder about it, or I'm concerned about it, but I could not raise my hand. But it would be nice to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. It would be nice to know about my eternal destiny. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up this morning? I'll pray for you. God bless you. Is there somebody else? God bless you. Somebody else? God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Somebody else? It would be nice to know. Thank you. You may take your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. Now listen very carefully. If you raised your hand just now, said it would be nice to know about eternal destiny, just look at me for a minute. Just those of you who lifted a hand, God bless you. God bless you back here and over here. Most important thing in life is knowing that you're going to heaven someday when you die. That's the beginning. That's being saved, born into God's family. I was like you. I didn't know. At church, they gave me an opportunity to find out. I found out how to be saved. I'm going to give you that opportunity in just a moment. People are going to come to the front. You come with them. You join them. Come right to one of these men and say, I don't know that I'm saved. Okay? And they'll take a Bible. They'll have somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. The greatest day of your life. Greatest day of your life. Anybody else? Pastor, I'm not saved. Or I don't know that I'm saved. Or I'm concerned about it. Pray for me. Anybody else? If you're saved and you've not been baptized, maybe you need to come follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Now's the time to do that. Be obedient to Christ. Come down and talk to one of these men about it. Being baptized. Okay? If you came to be baptized this morning, you come right away. So we get you ready. Same with church membership. Okay? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I tried to obey you this morning, Lord. Be sensitive to what you wanted for this particular service. But Lord, thank you for speaking to my heart about this. Got to have altar time. Got to have it. Lord, I pray that you'll impress upon the hearts of these dear people how important altar time is, please. I pray for these that raise their hand, not sure that they're saved. Not sure that they're on their way to heaven. Oh, God, draw them to Christ this morning. Help these who need to be baptized to follow you in believer's baptism. May we do your will this morning. I pray in Jesus' name.